And so many things changes from one generation to the next. When we look at our ancestors, and maybe even some of our own parents, of those of you that's my age and older, according to the law today, there was a lot of them that accused of child abuse. They did not abuse me, but they made me mine. They spanked me. Yeah, I needed it. I wasn't no saint. But the children in that day, there was a saying back then, and it was very prominent. Children should be seen and not heard. Today, as soon as they learn how to talk, we can hear them. Parents are limited by law on the things they can do. Children back in the days of Christ were precious to him. Children were a symbol of humbleness. Christ loved children. If you have your Bibles and want to read with us today, we're going to be in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 13. Very familiar scriptures. And if we had a thought today, it would be humbleness. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Now, I'm going to stop there. That's reading verse 13 through verse 16. And like I said, I want to talk about humbleness today. Verse 15 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." You know, at the time that the Lord saved my soul, prior to that, I was full of pride. Prior to that, I thought I was king of the hill. God brought me down. Showed me exactly what I was. Showed me how bad I actually was. And you know, I really didn't think I was very bad at all. I hadn't committed any crimes. I thought I was a pretty good feller. Till God showed me what I was, and how I was, and the way I was. But when God showed me these things, and I got my heart right with Him, He saved my soul. And there's only one there's only one way that a person can be saved. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, coming as humble as we can in repentance. We cannot come haughtily. We cannot come full of pride. We cannot come thinking we deserve salvation. We've got to come His way. Now, over in the book of Luke, over there in chapter 13, down in verse 28, we have a description there of the people that are trying to get into heaven. It says in verse 28, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." So we see here there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth because people have tried to get into heaven some other way. In the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 1, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Those people will not make it into heaven because they're trying to come some other way. They feel that their own righteousness is good enough. The Pharisees thought their own righteousness was good enough. But we see that it wasn't. These people were full of pride. They had no humbleness at all about them. Verse 29 says, "They'll come from the east, west, north, and south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." That simply tells us that there'll be people from all over the world. There'll be people coming into the kingdom of God. Not everybody from all over the world, but there'll be some from all over the world that'll be there because they love God more than they love themselves. And that's the way we have to do when we come to God. That's what we do when we're seeking salvation. That's what we do when we repent of our sins. It's show God that we love Him more than we love ourselves. That we rely on Him more than ourselves. That we trust Him more than we trust ourselves. We're nothing. If we got what we deserved, hell would be full. Because that's what we deserve. Because we're sinners. Because we are children of the night. Because we are a haughty people. We're a prideful people. Even after we get saved to a point, we still have a lot of pride. And we need to be getting rid of that pride so that we can serve God in a manner that pleases Him. When we come thinking that we're somebody, or we come thinking that we're worth something, we're not going to do anything for God because we're trying to do it for ourselves. We want to build our image. We want to build our name. Man of God can't do that. A servant of God can't do that. If you want to be successful in your work for God, you've got to come as a little child. We go to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Verse 1 says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, why do we need to be converted as little children? We need to get rid of our pride. You know, the Bible teaches us that if we spare the rod, we spoil the child. We need to train up a child in the way he go, and when he's older, he'll not depart from it. People are not doing that today. People are not using the rod. Of course, like I said a while ago, it's child abuse now. We have to be converted. We can't stay the way we are. And we can't be converted without repentance. We can't be converted if we stay prideful. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a lot of unrighteousness within ourselves. We just don't get rid of it overnight. We have to confess and let God remove it. We can't remove it on our own. Verse 4 says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." There's a lot of people in this world today that's saved. I'm talking about saved people right now. There's a lot of people in this world today, they think that they're going to be right up front with the apostles. That they're going to have front row seat when it comes to hearing Christ talk, listening to His teachings, worshiping God, singing songs and rejoicing. But when they get to heaven, they're going to find out they're going to be back there in the back with me. They're not going to be down front. I had a friend that died just a few weeks ago. His name was Junior Moore. You all know him. He was a friend to a lot of you all. That was the most humble man I've ever met in my life. If there's someone I know that'll be down front, it's him. He was ready to do anything that he could to further the name of God. He was ready to go anywhere that he could preach or sing and do something for God. Like I said, he was the most humble man I've ever met in my life. Now, he wouldn't say that. He'd never tell you that. He'd talk about his faults. Didn't take him long to get over them, because he didn't have many. He wasn't perfect. No man is. But he was as close to perfect as I know. Goes on and it says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." The last part of 2 Peter 3 and 9 says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My friends, we need to come to God in an humble manner. Even those of us that are already saved, for us to get something across to God, we still need to be humble in His presence. And I say in His presence. How are we in His presence? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is moving, when the Holy Spirit is doing, we know that we're in the presence of God. Because we can feel it. We can feel Him by His power. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 12. It says there that for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not strong milk, not strong meat. There's so many people they'll just read over something. Well, I know that pretty good. And you know, I was sort of like that myself. I'd taught Sunday school. I'd read quite a bit about the Bible. Thought I knowed quite a bit about the Bible. When God called me to preach, I figured out just how little I knew about the Bible. Still don't know a whole lot about it, but only through study have I been able to learn what I do know. God has showed me the things that I didn't know before. And He's done that through my wanting to learn. He didn't force any knowledge on me. He never has anybody. God has not forced Himself to do on anybody and forced us to do anything. God lays out work for us to do, and we either do it or we don't. God don't make us do it. But I'll tell you what, He's got somebody waiting if we don't do it. Somebody waiting that will. He's going to get things done. Just might not be us. And the sad part about it is that we miss blessings when we don't do what God wants us to. It says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's not a child like we've been talking about, but he's a babe in the word of God. Now this child can learn and grow and get off the milk and get on to the meat, but he's got to study. It says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When we read God's Word, when we study God's Word, we can figure out the difference between right and wrong. We know these things through the teaching of God. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That goes on and it says, to a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Well, that can be anybody. That's not necessarily just for preachers. Now, this was written to Timothy, a young preacher. But those of us that are not preachers, we can take the same advice and it do us good. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Can we divide the word of truth? Can we understand what God's word truly says? Or do we have to guess at it? we can indeed learn. In the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to close with this. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Humble people. Looking to learn. Trying to find out the right way to do something. It says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, when Noah was in the ark, and after the flood had gone down, Noah made a great sacrifice, and God said it was a sweet savor. Something that was pleasant. Something that was pleasing unto God. My friends, there's nothing more pleasing unto God than somebody being saved. That's what God wants. God wants everyone to be saved. My friends, we got to come humbly. We can't come thinking we deserve it, because we don't. We're evil in the heart. But if we come confessing our sin, then God is ready to forgive us. Brother Strode, if we might have a song. If you're here today and you're lost, you can be saved today. But you've got to come humbly unto God. You've got to come through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. There's no other way. Everyone standing.
Number 157, number 157, trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, We will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.